Hamish Hartley. You don't care what Ken Hinckley has said. You just want Hamish Hartley, and you get him, and you're prepared to pay the price for him. But unfortunately, I don't think people wanted to take on 4 years at exorbitant cash. That's probably what's preventing them getting those players done.
1-999-30-95. Hey, Biggs, why don't you just trade the whole team? Chris, people aren't happy for you. Let's go to our next guest, mate.
Okay, list manager Jason Cripps. He's had a busy week. When I say busy week, he has to get everything in order and either do or not do the deals, as we've been talking about. And he's been good enough to join us now on the back of doing a trade today. How are you, Jason?
Good afternoon, boys.
Can you explain your motives behind your move today? You traded out next year's first-round pick for pick 19 and pick 30 this year.
Yeah, look, during the year we made a conscious decision to look at ways and strategies to get back into this draft. We rated the draft pretty highly in terms of its depth, and it's a very even draft, and we thought it was a good opportunity after the last 3 or 4 years of trading out and trading players in. So we thought it was an opportune time to improve our draft position. And obviously with, the use of free future picks, we saw that as a strategy to be able to increase our picks this year.
You don't feel that 19 and 30, you get good players, but you can get a great player potentially if you had pick 8, 9 or 10 or something along those lines next year?
Yeah, well, look, we based the calculations using the AFL's point system, which they use as a tool to help facilitate trades. And, if we finish 11th next year, that deal ends up breaking even. So, we think, again, because of the strength of this draft, we pick 19 and 30. We believe that we potentially get, the two players that we get 19 and 30 could, certainly long-term be better for us as opposed to one pick next year.
Were you forced into this because you couldn't get any picks for some of the players you put on the table?
There was various options that we had available to us to try and improve our position this year, and obviously trading out players is one. Moving picks in your current draft is another one, and obviously the use of future picks. So, next year, we've got the ability again to improve our draft position next year with using future picks again. That's the great advantage of the future picks, that you can continue to trade back in. And obviously we've got some flexibility and some options next year with our list in terms of the amount of players that we'll actually have it coming out of contract.
Sounds like this was plan B.
It was a plan, Rowie. I think any club you go in with to a trade period, you look at ways to ultimately improve your list. And you improve your list through the draft, you improve it through free agency or trade. So every club, this management committee, goes in with a whole range of strategies. I mean, you look at Hawthorn now with Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis going. They obviously wanted to improve their list. So there's different methods and ways of how you actually go about it. I don't think there's an actual plan A or plan B. You're just going with different strategies to ultimately reach the objectives you're trying to achieve.
Okay, and the key for you, the objective, the strategy coming in, was you needed to get into either a late first round or an early second round, or like you've got three picks under 30.
Yeah,
that was your number one goal.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time as a recruiting team, analysing the value of picks and what picks actually mean, and the advantage of having multiple picks in certain positions of the draft. And we've done a lot of analysis on previous drafts and the success of picks. So there's a lot of time and effort and analysis goes into where we actually want those picks to sit and what it actually means for us going forward. In terms of trying to fill many positional gaps on your list with multiple picks, as opposed to just, relying on your superstar player, we think it's more than just relying on one player to win your games. You need multiple players in multiple positions, and the only way you can do that through the draft is have multiple picks.
The talk about next year, maybe as many as 7 South Australian boys in the top 30, and potentially you could be locked out and be not have a pick till about round 30, pick 30.
Yeah, look, there's I've spoken to other recruiting managers at other clubs who have been in the industry a long time and well regarded, and they value this draft as one of the best that they've worked in. And we've got someone in our recruiting team basically who's dedicated full time to looking at future drafts. We're looking at the 2017, 2018, 2019 draft now. We've got someone in our recruiting team allocated full time to analysing those drafts. Our view is next year's draft. Yes, there's more talls in next year's draft, and a couple of those are going to go to the academy, one to Brisbane and one to GWS. So not sure the quality of talls. And part of our strategy the last couple of years, which we've seen, we've traded in Ryder, Dixon. Plus, we've drafted the likes of Frampton, Austin, Howard. So we're aware that at some point Chiltie was coming towards the end, and obviously Westy with his age and Butch not having quite got there. So we feel we're part of our strategy the last couple of years is to bring in some of those other guys. So we're comfortable with where we're at. In terms of next year, again, Bix, as I said earlier, we'll get to next year. We're in a really strong position in terms of our list, in terms of where it sits with uncontracted players. And again, the ability to be able to use future picks, like we did this year, we trade out second round for Dixon last year. Well, we've got that back. And there's nothing to stop you from continuing to go down that path.
If this is the only trade, I know there's a day and a half to go. Is this a successful trade period for you, Cripsy?
Yeah, look, we've certainly achieved one of the objectives we wanted in terms of, as we've been talking about, in terms of increasing our draft picks. You know, look, once we get to the end of the draft trade period, you know, there's every chance that we've made seven changes to our list and brought in seven new players, which we think is a pretty significant number. So we're pretty comfortable with where we sit at the moment.
Okay, no interest in Matt Lobey?
No, not at this stage. I'm pretty confident that Lobes will stay with us.
You mentioned about next year you have some more flexibility with some players coming out of contract. The fact that you've had so many guys on long-term contracts, does that hurt you?
Do you know where we actually sit in terms of long-term contracts? We're talking long-term contracts from 2018 onwards. Where do you think we sit in the competition? This is based off facts from the AFL. Where do you think Port Adelaide sits in terms of long-term contracts and number of players from 2018 beyond?
You tell me.
Well below competition average.
But you've got to get the right ones on those contracts, would be my comeback, Cripsy.
There's a lot of outside noise around long-term contracts. We're well below the competition average. The players that are on long-term contracts for us, Boak, Gray, Wingard, Wines, Impey, etc., I don't think our members and supporters would be too disappointed that those players are on long-term contracts at the club. But again, in comparison to other clubs, we rank well below the competition average for long-term contracts, and that's a fact.
Well, that's good, but I think what your supporters are saying via us is Hammer Hartlett's one of them, and Matt Lobey, and at the start of this trade period, you didn't want him.
There's no doubt in every club and every list, and you look at Pierce Hanley and Bryce Gibbs, both of those guys have just re-signed long-term deals. Bryce Gibbs and Pierce Hanley have got another 3 years to go, and they're leaving their clubs.
But they wanted to go, Cripsy. They wanted to go. Hammer and Matt don't want to go.
Yeah, we had discussions with Hammer. Matthew came to us at the end of the year, and he requested to look at other options for the opportunity to be the number one ruck. We had an honest conversation with Hamish Hart at the end of the year. Hammer's really frustrated, like we are, around him not being able to maximise his talent, and Hammer said that publicly. He's been frustrated with his inconsistent form, and we had a really open discussion, just like Ellis Clark did with Mitchell and Lewis, that if there was opportunities for Hammer, if he was happy to pursue those opportunities, for him to maybe have a fresh start so he could maximise his talent, and there was an opportunity for us as a club to improve our list, we need to look at that. Hammer agreed. We looked at it. There were clubs that were interested. Different reasons it hasn't happened, and Hammer's still with us, and that's fine, but we need to explore those opportunities for Hammer and for us.
It appears at different stages that the coach and yourself, the list manager, have been on different pages. Is that fair criticism?
No, that's rubbish. Look, you know, we've got a list management committee which Ken and I are a part of. We have robust discussions, which I'm sure our members and supporters would want us doing. Part of the list management committee, not everyone in that room is going to agree, but when we walk out the door, we're very clearly on the one page with what we need to do, and that's no different between Ken and I. We have a great relationship. Yes, we don't see eye to eye on everything, but we have robust discussions and we work really closely together to try and improve our list.
So clearly we can read from that Ken wanted Hammer to stay, But the list management wanted him to go. You wanted him to go.
At the end of the season, we had the discussion with Hammer, which I previously outlined, that Hamish was open to looking at opportunities. We agreed to that. Ken and Hamish obviously had further dialogue during that period, and you'd need to ask Hammer and Ken what was discussed.
Mm-hmm. Archie, where's he at?
Look, I think Arch will stay. There's been some interest from Gold Coast, whether that gets done I think it's unlikely at this stage.
Any other trades on the near horizon for you? We're hearing, I'm sure you're still talking to plenty of players. Someone mentioned Levi Greenwood's name. Cam O'Shea was someone who's talked about previously. Is there any likelihood of doing a few more deals before the deadline?
Look, there's a lot of names that get thrown out at this time of year, as we know, outside of the trade period. There's many, many, many discussions that go on behind closed doors about many players. We've still got another couple of days to go. I think it's unlikely that we'll do anything in terms of players. We might try and improve our draft position further. But in terms of players, I think it's unlikely.
Jason, thanks so much for having a good chat with us and filling us in on what your plans are and what you've been able to do. And good luck over the coming day and a half. And, it sounds like you're pretty happy with what you've been able to do.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Cripps there, Port List Manager. Very open and honest. That's what I love about Cripsy.